Good morning. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be looking at this passage this morning, verses 6 through 14. Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Then I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor for me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I have appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Sister Ann Shipley made a statement in Bible class a couple Wednesday nights ago that gave me the idea of bringing this lesson this morning, and that is to rekindle the fire within us. Have you ever been in a situation in life where you've done something for so long that maybe you get burnt out? Maybe it's a job that you've done for so long and you begin to lose your compassion in the job. I know several people in emergency medical services, they run calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They run calls for people who have stumped their toes, people who are out of medications and need to go to the hospital, people who are truly sick and need their help. And those things become monotonous to the extent where sometimes people get burnt out in their jobs and they no longer show compassion or even passion in doing their job. Oftentimes, the Christian may lose their zeal or passion for being a Christian. And that's the basis of our lesson this morning. Rekindle the fire within me. The New International Version says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, to instead of stir up, it says flame into the fire, to rekindle the fire within us. That is what we as Christians must do. If we've lost that zeal and excitement as we once learn the Word of God and we're obedient to the Word of God in becoming a Christian, we lose that zeal. It's interesting, sometimes as Christians get older, we feel as if though we retire from being a Christian. What do I mean by that? Well, we say we retire from the work. We retire from teaching. We retire from being an example. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ that may be older, you never retire your influence in those of us who are younger than you. Keep the fire kindled within yourself. And let us help you do that as well. If you'll go to the next slide, Heath, there's a song here that the youth... can you see that? There's a song here that the youth often sing. It's Light the Fire. We often sing it in camp. And if it's convenient for you, will you please stand? We're going to sing this song real quick, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards, okay? I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I butchered that, but sit down. We'll leave the words up. So, the words of this song, I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knee. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. You know, as we go through life and as we go through being a Christian for life, and things come up and things affect our attitude and things affect our zeal for Christ, let us remember that God is on our side. Let us remember that we need to rekindle the fire within us. We need to fan the flame within us. And as the chorus there says, light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. It's oftentimes when we get together and we sing songs of worship to God and to one another, we sing the song, There's Power in the Blood. And we sing it like this. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Doesn't sound very powerful, does it? When we should be singing, because we've lit the fire within ourselves and rekindled the fire within us, we should be saying there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Don't lose your zeal for being a Christian. Don't lose your zeal for doing the things that you should do to be mentors and examples to those around you. This is Paul's last letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. It was his last letter that came from his pen. Timothy is in Ephesus leading the churches that came out of the great revival that happened there several years earlier. Paul is writing to give Timothy instruction in how to lead those churches, how to confront certain teachers that are teaching strange doctrines, and what qualities of godly character he should look to for those who will lead the church. Paul also writes as a mentor to Timothy personally, telling him to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness, to make pains with these things, to be absorbed in them and to persevere in these things. This message was not just to Timothy in the first century, folks. This message is to us today. Keep the faith. Fight the fight. Run the race. Keep the zeal and the flame that is within you. Be excited to learn from God's Word. Be excited to share what you've learned from God's Word with others. so that they too may be a Christian. This second letter to Timothy is even more personal. Paul knew his time in this world was coming to an end. "The time of my departure has come," Paul wrote. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Knowing that he didn't have much time left, he wrote one of the most personal, one of the most compelling, one of the most inspiring, and one of the most quoted letters that came from his pen. It's powerfully moving and inspiring to anyone who considers Paul his mentor. Paul had arrived in Rome because he had appealed to Caesar. He had been arrested in Jerusalem for protective custody, but was transferred to Caesarea when it was discovered that there was a plot to kill him. He sat in prison in Caesarea for 2 years without ever facing charges, and finally he appealed to Caesar and was sent to Rome. In Rome, he was allowed to rent his own private quarters, though he was constantly under Roman guard. What followed is nothing short of amazing as the great revival of Rome broke out through though he was a prisoner in chains, Paul ministered to the Roman guards. And perhaps the gospel was learned from Paul in prison by many of those guards. Many came to visit the famous apostle, and hundreds came to faith in Christ Jesus. Many historians believe that Paul appeared before Caesar. He was exonerated and released since there was no basis for charges against him. However, there is a growing Christian movement gave Emperor Nero an opportunity. In 64 AD, a fire broke out in Rome that destroyed nearly three quarters of that city. Many citizens of Rome began to suspect that Nero himself had the city set on fire so that he could go around the Senate and rebuild it as he wished, becoming the great architect of that city. When Nero saw that there was a growing suspicion against him, he blamed the Christians. Had Paul executed and ordered the torture and persecution of Christians throughout the city of Rome. Paul realized that in his ministry was coming to an end. He had been poured out a drink offering, so he writes Timothy with a sense of urgency. I want us to pay special attention to verse 7 in our passage today. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. A kindle afresh God within you. Verse 6, there is a sense of urgency in Paul's words. The world was changing. The empire was taking note of the Christian movement and was turning against it, and Timothy must use his time well to kindle afresh. The gift of God means to stir it up, like stirring the embers of a fire to ignite the flame within them. As the New International Version says, fan into the flame. Significant events bring spiritual things in focus sometimes, and it helps us as Christians to realize that God should be a priority in our lives. For Paul, it was the end of his time here on earth. For us, it may be something different. It may be the loss of someone that we love. It may be the loss of someone that all of us at a congregation love, like our brother Bill Greer, that would remind us to think about heaven every day, to have that zeal, to have that passion in being a Christian, and being infectious to those around us. When someone looks at you as a Christian, do they see someone who's just mediocre, that keeps some commandments and leaves others away? Or do they look at you and say, that person is different? That person is a peculiar person. That person is zealous for good works. That person is passionate about their commitment to God in Christ. What do they say? We should be passionate and not lose our zeal for being a Christian in the Lord's church. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is the opposite of kindling afresh the gift of God. Fear is a debilitating prison that has robbed many people of fulfilling the calling of God on their lives. One thing Paul writes with certainty, God did not give us a spirit of fear. If we have a spirit of fear, we didn't receive it from Him. The Greek word for fear here is used in no other place in the New Testament. It's not used in the sense of, say, being afraid of the dark or being afraid of heights, but rather it's being timid or even perhaps a bit of a coward. God doesn't want us to be fearful in sharing His word with others. Now, I know the world is so much different today, and it's much harder to talk to people about God things. But if we do it in a sense of love and showing them we care before we let them know how much we know, they will listen. It still works today. Paul wanted Timothy to be bold in the gospel and not be afraid of men or what men may say about him. In John chapter 12, in verse 42 and 43, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Folks, if we're looking for the approval of men, we're looking in the wrong place. We need the approval of God in our lives. We need to be passionate about sharing the gospel, the good news, to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. The opposite of this kind of fear is boldness. Not being afraid to share God's word, but boldly proclaiming God's word. But where does this kind of boldness come from? It comes from confidence that God is with you. It comes from confidence that God is for you. And it comes from knowing that God works through you to bring souls to Christ. In Psalm chapter 71 and verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. In Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Don't be fearful, be bold in being a Christian today. There is power in God's word. A kindle afresh the spirit of power within us as Christians today. The word for power in the verse is translated into English dynamite. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us the spirit of dynamite, of power of His word. Power moves what we think cannot be moved. Power changes what we think cannot be changed. Power in God's word can make a difference in the world in which we live today. Rekindle that fire within yourself. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Paul has every confidence in God because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers his life, and he wants the same for Timothy, and he wants the same for us today. in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. We have the entire Word of God today. We have all of God's power right here. We have to study it. We have to apply it to our lives. And we have to kindle the fire within us. Be bold to share it with the world. God is still seeking and saving the lost today. He's still giving salvation to sinners, and he is still transforming lives by the same power of the gospel today. Some people in the world would say, well, this is an old book and it doesn't apply today. Baloney. This book applies forever because it is the Word of God in its entirety. And God has blessed us to have his Word. Take it to heart. Study it. Meditate on it day and night, and make it part of your daily life. What is that power that moves upon the soul to change what he thinks is unchangeable? To move what he thinks is unmovable? To transform a person toward godliness? Kindle afresh the gift of God. Paul wrote, "You kindle a fire, but which fire?" It's the fire of God in your life that has the power to transform lives. Not only your life, but the life of those whom you love and whom you communicate with on a daily basis. Many people don't understand the significance of kindling the fire of God in their soul and think they can kindle their own fire and leave it at that. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 11 says, "Behold, all you who light your own fire and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze, and this you will receive from my hand. You will lie down in sorrow." People are looking for some kind of spark in the world. Some kind of joy in the world. Something worth living for. But where does joy come from? Joy only comes from God. Israel had turned their hearts away from God and toward the things of the world. As a result, they were defeated and destroyed and exiled to Babylon. 70 years later, they were allowed to return only to find the city in a heap of ruins. While they were repairing the temple, they discovered a copy of the Word of God. So they assembled together all the people and had all the words of God read to them. The people began to cry and weep when they heard it, because they then knew how far they had moved away from God. Does that apply to us today? So the Levites calmed the people of God, saying, "Be still, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." Nehemiah then gave a powerful insight in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is the power of God moving on our soul today. When the joy of the Lord is the spark that ignites us, that rekindles the fire within us, that makes us excited about sharing God's word with the world once again. When you're satisfied with food from the king's table, hot dogs don't seem too appeasing anymore, do they? We are partaking of the king's table and his food when we read our Bible and apply it to our lives. Kindle afresh the spirit of love. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. God has given us this, a spirit of love. This is not something that you inspire within yourself. It is a result of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God in your life. But we can ask for more. We can stir up the embers of the fire of the Holy Spirit within us. You men who go on our men's camp out in early November know that when you get up that next morning, it's a little chilly. And you got to go stir those embers to get the fire going again. Think about that illustration. As we as Christians rekindle the fire within us, we stir those embers. We make the fire bright once again. We let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Return to your first love. Interestingly, the book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking through the Spirit to the churches and to the church of Ephesus. He called them back to love. He had many good things to say about them, but there was just this one thing. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Remember your first love. If you've been burnt out on spreading the good news of the gospel throughout the world, if you lost your zeal as a Christian, look to God's word to rekindle the fire within you. Things can change over time. Marriage can become routine. The job that was first exciting can become mundane, and we can get burnt out. Just like we as Christians can become burnt out of being a Christian. We get tired of being different. We get tired of being made fun of. We get tired of other people talking about us. But guess what? We will receive the gift of heaven one day. Remember to stir up those embers within you and the fire within you, and be bold to share the good news of the gospel throughout the world. The first child is so special. When you have children, the first child has the perfect schedule. You give them all the perfect foods. You work with them with flashcards. You write everything they say and do in a book. But by the time the third or fourth one comes along, everything changes. Am I right? The first thing Jesus wants them to do is to remember. Remember the love that you had at the first. Remember the joy that you had when Christ came into your life. If you have forgotten, one thing is certain, God certainly has not. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 2, I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through a land not sown. God wants love to be the foundational definition for your relationship with Him, because it's foundational definition of your relationship with you. Love is a transforming power. And when you move away from love, you move away from the power that transforms your life as a Christian. 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. I found as a parent that love breaks through to my children much better than harsh words. When we go out to preach and teach the lost of the world, love is much more appetizing than harsh words, than calling names, than being unkind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear distorts judgment. Fear distorts the mind. The result of bad thinking is bad living. Instead of being driven by fear, be led by peace in your soul. Trust God to direct your steps, to rekindle the fire within you. God does not want us making decisions because of fear of being anxious A sound mind looks at life from the perspective of faith. What would God do? What would Jesus do in this situation? And how can I be pleasing to God in my decisions that I make? Psalm chapter 42 and verse 11. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him and help of my countenance and my God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Share the Word of God with others. It has not lost its power. It has not lost its appeal, no matter what the world says. It is true today, just as it was many years ago. And it will be true many years from now if God sees that the world continues to exist. Rekindle the fire within yourself. Be passionate about sharing the Word of God with others. Love the Word of God and put it in your mind and your heart. Live as a Christian, as you know you should. There may be some here this morning who have never responded to the Lord's invitation. Maybe you've never had that fire within you, that zeal to teach God's Word. Maybe you're just now learning it for yourself. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 to hear the Word of God, just as we have this morning. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, to believe the Word of God. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus as Lord, Romans 10:10, to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to be added by the Lord to the church, Acts chapter 2 verses 41 and 47. And we as Christians must remain faithful unto death to receive the crown of life. Have you lost the fire within you? Have you struggled with sin and let sin creep in to separate you from God? Don't become a slave to sin. Become free through God. Be faithful unto death to receive that crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Walk in the light as He is in the light. To have your sins continuously cleansed. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Confess your sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. If you have a need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning to become a Christian, or perhaps you are a Christian and you've sinned publicly and need to repent publicly, or you need the prayers and thoughts of your brothers and sisters in Christ to rekindle the fire within you, we offer you an invitation to come forward now as together we stand and as we sing.